This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley for, well, now everybody's back in class. You know, we talked last weekend about the first day of school and people getting back at things again and what have you. And, well, pretty much everybody now in the area is in school.
Yeah. I'm sure they're loving it.
Well, the kids, probably not so much. But
I bet a few of the parents are.
Some of the teachers, probably not so much either. Kind of got used to lounging during the summer. But, you know, it's that back-to-school time. So, you know, we should really be careful about things out there now, too, especially in small communities like ours.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how just a simple thing like back-to-school can change the traffic patterns in a community.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's outrageous how much difference there is in the amount of cars on the streets during the day. And of course, then you've got the traffic issues that go you know, just before and just after school. But also it's, you know, there's different types of things going on different times of the days with activities and stuff. You know, some kids have practices early mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Some have practices late into the evenings with their different activities and things and the travel schedules and what have you. You might have cross-country kids out running out through the community and stuff and things like that. So there are all kinds of issues and things like that. So we all need to kind of be very aware of what's going on out there, too. So, you know, with regard to motorists, remember school buses. You might have gotten used to not seeing them very much, but you will see them so much more now. And, you know, all 50 states, it is illegal to pass a stopped school bus when it's loading or unloading children. So don't do anything foolish there. You know, if the yellow lights are flashing, well, that's letting you know that they're preparing to stop or unload kids. When the red lights flash and that stop arm is out, if you pass, probably the best thing that'll happen to you is that you'll get ticketed.
Get a fine, yeah.
The worst thing would be that you may end up in jail for the rest of your life after you run over a child.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't do anything foolish. Make sure you understand those rules again and be alert to those kinds of things. It's not so much that folks don't know the rules. Most folks, I'm pretty sure, do.
Yeah.
We had to pass the test in the first place when we got our license. I know that was a long time ago.
Everybody's always in a hurry.
But, you know, just pay attention. It's paying attention to those kinds of things. So make sure you're paying attention to those kinds of things. And kids as well with regard to school buses. You know, they should watch the proper safety procedures as well in getting on and off school buses. You know, stay back away from the curb as the buses are pulling out. When they get off the bus, make sure there's safe distance and never pass, never go behind the school bus. You always go in front of it, mm-hmm. make sure that the driver sees you, and then make sure the traffic sees you. Don't dart out into the street, things like that. You know, you should always be aware of what's happening there too. You know, and it's the same with kids out as pedestrians. You know, it is kind of nice sometimes when they walk in groups, because it's easier to see a lot of kids than it is just to see one. They tend to be small, so sometimes you don't see them very well. But the other problem with a group, though, while it's nice because you can kind of see the group, is that they get to chit-chatting and whatever else and, you know, playing with their phones and whatever else they're doing, and they don't pay attention to the things around them. So we kind of have to do that as automobile drivers. So, you know, make sure that we're watching those things. Don't block crosswalks when you stop at a red light, things like that. If you're going to make a right turn on red, make sure that there's no extra, you know, pedestrian traffic walking across the street at that time, too. If you're in a school zone where the warning flashers are on, you know, make sure you stop to yield to the right of way of to the pedestrian. And it's in the crosswalk, you know, if it's in there. You know, sometimes we just get used to those things not being an issue because school's out.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's back in. It's like, why is that blinking? You know, well, that's why. You know, make sure you stop when you're told to by a school patrol sign or an officer, a school patrol officer. We'll see those on the corners again. You know, children are the least predictable of all the pedestrians out there. And they're the most difficult to see because they're tiny.
Yeah.
So make sure you do take that extra care, and especially in the school zones, around playgrounds, parks, and residential areas, things like that. And don't honk your horn, rev your engine, or anything else to rush or scare a pedestrian in front of your car, even if you have the legal right-of-way. It's kind of foolish. It can lead to an accident that you didn't intend. Kids with bicycles also is another issue out there, too. There are a lot of kids out riding bicycles. You know, we need to make sure that we're extra cautious and aware of them. Of course, on the other side, they need to follow the rules of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Stop signs mean stop.
Right.
Not, oh, I really don't feel like putting my feet down on the concrete today, so I'm just going to blow right by it. You know, if you're on a bike, you have to follow the same rules. It's illegal to ride a bike on a sidewalk. It's illegal to ride a bike on the wrong side of the street.
Yeah.
All the same things that, you know, you can't do. If you can't do it with a car, You probably can't do it with a bicycle either. So,
yeah.
You know, they need to be aware of that. But, you know, as motorists, we have the bigger vehicles. So we need to be aware of kids turning on bicycles, maybe not signaling properly like they should, stuff like that. So, you know, watch for bicycles out. And when you talk about bicycles, mopeds, kind of the same way.
Yeah.
And they tend to travel in packs.
They do.
So they tend not to pay much attention either. But, you know, educate the kids a little bit on walking to school. You know, stay on the sidewalks, use the crosswalks, you know, cross the streets at corners, things like that. Walk, don't run, don't dart in front of cars, all that kind of stuff. You know, if you happen to be, you know, riding the school bus, make sure the kids understand all of that, all the behavior issues and things too, because those are difficult things. And then when you talk about back to school, well, hey, let's face it. The most dangerous time in a teenager's life, you know when that is?
When?
The first 12 months after they get their driver's license.
Oh, really?
It's the most. Now, it's all sourced out, this piece of information I have here. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, National Safety Council, several of them. But, yeah, they said the most dangerous time of a teen driver's life is the first 12 months after they get their independent driver's license, after they can get out and go. Car crashes are the leading cause of death for teenagers in the U.S. In fact, more teens die in car crashes than from suicides and homicides combined. Fortunately, teen crashes are preventable, but parents play a big role in that, too. A teen driver's crash risk is 3 times that of a more experienced driver. 3 times.
Jeez.
Teens crash most often, not because they're not paying attention and stuff. We kind of sometimes think it's because they're goofing around and not paying attention. It's more often because they're inexperienced, not necessarily because they take more risks. It's just that when they get in certain situations, they haven't experienced them enough to really think through it quickly enough to know how to handle some of those things. 3 or more teenage passengers in a car quadruples a teenage driver's crash risk. So now you see why they have restrictions on some of those early things about how many kids you can have in the car, too. Most fatal nighttime crashes involving teen drivers happen before midnight. And a lot of times with young people, we think of crashes happening, you know, late, early morning hours and things after midnight, but not the case. More than half of teens killed in car crashes are not wearing a seatbelt, so make sure you drive that point home. Most states, teen driving laws and restrictions do not adequately protect teens from common crash risks, so we have to teach them well. And teens really do learn to drive from watching their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Kids learn a lot from watching their parents.
Yeah.
It's the reason why we sound kind of like our folks. We do a lot of the things. We have the same mannerisms. We might have the same type of laugh that our parents have, because we learn from them. Well, the Allstate Foundation did a study, and they found that 80% of teenagers say that their parents are the ones that have the most influence over their driving habits. So if you're driving angry or not following, you know, good driving habits, most likely your kids will, too.
They're going to pick up
on it, yeah. So how are you going to be angry at them when they goof up when you're goofing up?
Yeah.
You know, you have to be a good role model there. And it says the crash risk actually remains high after teenagers get their licenses. In fact, young drivers' crash risks do not significantly begin decreasing until around the age of 25, which explains why, especially for young boys, any of us guys who went through that, boy, it's tough getting off your parents', you know, car insurance when you're young. And getting your own.
Yeah.
It's a real eye-opener to see just how expensive that is.
Oh, I bet.
Whew, till you turn 25. And it's no fault of yours. It's the fault of
everyone else
that preceded you. Yeah. So, you know, the whole point is lots of activity going on. You know, when we were in high school, I bet less than 10% of the kids had cars because we didn't work either. A few of us worked, but not very many had jobs. So we didn't have cars. Now it seems like every kid has a car. And there are so many more out on the road. So with school back in session, again, all the distractions and things, just pay attention.
Just got to be careful.
Be aware of those things so we get home safely and get to school safely, too. Lots of stuff happening. All the schools around the area now in session again. Just in time for the heat.
Yeah. We finally get our big heat wave and
heat and humidity.
Back in school.
Just in the nick of time.
They're
for
okay.
School.
They have air conditioning now.
Yeah, most of them are air conditioned. They're in pretty good shape. We didn't have any air conditioned buildings when I was in school ever. We also didn't get off for hot weather either. Except one time. I do remember one time they did let us out a couple of hours early because it was oppressively hot. 110 degrees. It was some ridiculously high number. And, you know, we had these old buildings, mm-hmm. no air conditioning. You open up windows, it didn't matter.
It doesn't
matter.
Do anything.
No, it's stagnant. When it gets that hot, there's no breeze. It's just stagnant.
You're just sitting as close as you can to the fan in the room.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And everybody's just... And I don't think it was so much the kids, it was the teachers. They just couldn't take it anymore. So, yeah, I do remember one day. I don't remember how old I was. I want to say it was probably... It was in junior high. It was probably either like fifth or sixth or seventh grade. I do remember one day where they did let us out early like that. But yeah, it's. But the funny thing is, we went home and we played.
Yeah, exactly.
We went home. We went outside and played ball, played tennis, whatever we did. But we went outside. We didn't stick around in the house either. Of course, we didn't have air conditioning in the house either.
Oh well, then you're kind of used to it.
So what makes a difference? We were kind of used to it anyway. Yeah. So anyway, that's how that goes. So. Hope they have a good start to the school year. It's always an important time for the youngsters. It's amazing how fast these things go by.
Mm, it is.
And you've got a daughter getting close to her first birthday already.
I know. It doesn't seem right at all.
You start talking about how time goes by.
Yeah.
You know, the nice thing, though, I suppose, is how easy it is nowadays to take photos and to record things.
Yeah.
You know, my folks have some old 8mm, or 8mm, the old videotape, the old 8mm videotape, if you can find a player to play it on,
exactly,
of me when I was a little baby and stuff, mm-hmm. and I've seen it. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But it was difficult to do that back then. I mean, you had to set everything up and go grab the camera. Today with, everybody has a camera
and a
video recorder on their phones, it's so much easier to document all the things mm-hmm. and all the stages and the milestones they go through. The thing that's concerning, though, is, are you saving it?
Yeah.
You know, while Mom and Dad always had they'd take pictures with the camera, then take the film to the photo developer, and to get the film developed, you'd have your little pictures, you'd put them in the photo album, you'd have that forever.
Yeah.
But so many people, they take pictures and video and stuff with their cameras, and
do nothing with them.
Are you getting it? Are you taking it off of there? Are you saving it? Are you getting it on some sort of a hard copy or some way you can save it for the long term?
Actually, I am. A friend a couple months back told me about this app for like $3 a month.
There's an app for everything.
There is an app for everything. But it lets you pick like 100 pictures each month, and it prints them off in a nice little book for you and mails them to your home. So that's how I've been getting mine off my, they're still on my camera, but at least they're in physical form now. And, yeah.
Well, and so many people will break their phones some way, you drop them and they break, drop them in the toilet, whatever. I mean, it's funny, all the different ways people destroy their cell phones. But, you got to get all that stuff off of there, too, before you change plans in two years.
Well, yeah, when you get a new phone, then it's going to take you like an hour to
right.
It takes forever. Everything.
So it's a process. It's the convenience is there, but the follow-through has to be there, too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the convenience means nothing.
And I was just as bad with the regular camera anyways.
Well, sometimes
I get them on the computer, but then it was still getting them printed off. And...
Now, there are four kids in my family, me and I have three younger brothers. Mm-hmm. I was the oldest, so they have tons of film on me. Well, not tons, but they have lots of film on me.
Yeah.
My next brother, they got film on him. My next brother, little.
A little.
Next one, not so much.
Not so much.
it kind of tails off the newness, the
right,
I
all
guess,
the first
the uniqueness
things. You're like, oh, I've seen
off.
It before.
Yeah. So how are you with your two?
I'm trying, but I'm sure there is a difference.
Well, it is. I mean, from a parent's perspective, you're going through things the first time, too. Mm-hmm. So everything's new to you. But it's hard to kind of keep that balance, too.
Yeah, it is.
You don't want the kids to come back 20 years from now and say,
all my pictures?
You loved him more. It'd be like the Smothers Brothers. You loved him more.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Have fun times.
Yeah.
Well, soon you'll have school pictures. First day.
I know.
Are you going to do that? School pictures?
Yes, of course.
First day. I don't remember if my folks did that. If I did, I don't ever remember seeing them. But.
Yeah. I'll get some sign or piece of paper or something so I can write the date. And
first day
of this, year or whatever.
You going to let them dress themselves?
We'll see.
I've seen some of those first day of school pictures. And sometimes it's like, oh, that's kind of neat. Who dressed that kid?
Yeah. One, I saw a friend that she had her outfit on, but just had to wear like these cowboy boots with it, even though it was like shorts and, kind of the people used to eat state fair type deal. But she's like, I wasn't going to fight her on it. Just let her do it.
Okay,
so,
whatever.
It was still cute.
Whatever. Very good. I went to Catholic schools, so We didn't really have that problem. The girls all looked the same. They all had their uniforms. And the guys, well, we had a strict dress code. So yeah. We all pretty much looked the same, too. So no outrageous
stuff.
It'd
be hard to keep track from year to year, then.
Kind of, but no outrageous. Nothing outrageous. Oh, well. Anyway,
That's
enough of that. We probably better get to some business here. Let's do this, take a short break, and we'll be back to share some stuff with you here locally in just a moment.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are, too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, time to get back to work again. I know you got some stuff there. What
I
you got?
I sure do. We got lots of things. Let's see here. We'll start off with on Sunday at St. John's United Church of Christ. Their youth group is having their ice cream social, and that's on August 24th from 5 to 7. And along with that, you also get ham sandwiches, chips, and of course, homemade ice cream, desserts, and drink for a free will offering. St. John's United Church of Christ is located 1 mile south of Lyman on Highway 71. Again, that's the ice cream social on August 24th from 5 to 7. A Red Cross blood drive is in Red Oak on August 27th. It's from 8 to 2 at the Montgomery County Hospital. And then over in Greenfield on August 28th is their Red Cross blood drive from 11 to 5, and that's at the Methodist Church. The Guthrie County 4-H, they're hosting a silent auction. It starts August 29th. It's in the 4-H exhibit building at the Guthrie County Fair. And proceeds from that will help more than 200 4-H members participate in the local 4-H program. Items on the auction range from blankets to a leaf blower and everything in between. And then that will end on Monday, September 1st at 3. So go in, check out all the items. That's on starting on August 29th and runs through Monday, September 1st at 3. The Cass County Conservation Board, they're holding a free Mysterious Monarchs program. It's on August 30th at 2 p.m. at the main campground at Lake Anita State Park in Anita. And you can discover the monarch butterflies before their journey south, and they'll tag monarchs and show you how. And if you'd like your own home tagging kit, and you must attend and pre-register for the kit, you can get that by calling 769-2372, and you do not have to be a registered camper to attend the program. So it's a free Mysterious Monarchs program on August 30th at 2 at the main campground at Lake Anita State Park in Anita. The Cass County Conservation Board also has some more events going on Saturday. They're holding a free Dutch Oven Cooking Dinner campground program. It's on August 30th at 5 p.m. It's at the campground shelter at Cold Springs Park in Lewis, and you'll learn how to make dinner and dessert in a Dutch oven. They do ask that you bring your own place settings for samples, and again, you do not have to be a registered camper to attend the program. Again, it's the free Dutch Oven Cooking Dinner campground program, August 30th at 5 at the campground shelter at Cold Springs Park in Lewis. Also that night, they're having a free Movie in the Park at the campground program, August 30th at 9 p.m., also at the campground shelter at Cold Springs Park in Lewis. And they'll be showing the Lego Movie, which we just watched out the other night with my family, and it's pretty cute. And if it rains, the movie will be canceled, and you do not have to be a registered camper to attend the program. So it's a free Movie in the Park, August 30th at 9 p.m. at the campground shelter at Cold Springs Park in Lewis, and there will be watching the movie, the Lego Movie. The 4th Annual Guthrie County 4-H Foundation's Pie Auction is on August 31st. It's in the show arena during the lunch break of the 4-H Cattle Show. They're going to be auctioning off homemade fruit pies, and that goes to help raise money for scholarships and other 4-H youth projects. And all the money raised at the auction stays in Guthrie County. That's the 4th Annual Guthrie County 4-H Foundation's Pie Auction, August 31st. And that takes place in the show arena during the lunch break of the 4-H Cattle Show. The Xyra Mason's annual Labor Day breakfast is coming up August 31st from 8:30 to 12:30. That's at the Brayton Town Hall, and they'll be serving sausage, eggs, pancakes, and French toast. It's all you can eat for a free will donation. And again, that's sponsored by the Exodus Masonic Lodge number 342. It's their annual Labor Day breakfast, August 31st, from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Brayton Town Hall. A Fletcher Chapel neighborhood party is coming up on Labor Day, September 1st. It's at noon at Riggs Seed Shed. It's 64333 Oxford Road, Atlantic. And the meal is going to be a potluck. It's for anyone who lived near or even just remembers the old Fletcher Chapel Church or Fletcher store. And bring a folding chair and food to share your beverage. Table service if you can. You will have some plastic forks and knives, paper plates, and some tables and chairs. But if you can bring your own, that would really help them out. You can call Jim with questions at 254-2408. It's the Fletcher Chapel Neighborhood Party on Labor Day, September 1st at noon at Riggs Seed Shed in Atlantic.
That's a lot of stuff there, too, going on. Some other things going on, too. Don't forget the Wallace Foundation and Iowa State University will be hosting the Neely Kenyon Research Farm Field Day coming up this Tuesday, August 26th. That's at the Neely Kenyon Research Farm just south of Greenfield. You go 2 miles south of Greenfield on Highway 25, half mile east on 260th Street, then a half mile back north on Norfolk Avenue. Actually, you'll be able to see it along Highway 25 as you get down to that location. You'll see activity and some signs. Starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They've got all kinds of different presentations going on. They'll have a light meal served at about 6:30 after the presentations, and it's all free and open to the public. So they always have a good crowd for that. They hope to again this time around. Some other things going on here around the area, too, that we have going on. A lot of things happening in the Audubon County area here coming up. Coming up this weekend, the T-Bone Double Judged Horse Show will be held this Sunday, August 24th, at the Audubon County Fairgrounds from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Audubon County Saddle Club T-Bone Double Judged Horse Show is a show that folks enjoy each and every year as part of their T-Bone celebration. Also, the Audubon Firemen's Golf Tournament is being held this Sunday at the Audubon Golf and Country Club. If you can call the club if you have any questions about that. They have some other things happening, too. There'll be an Exira Free Clinic at the Exira Lutheran Church at 106 West Harrison Street from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. on September 4th. Also, September 5th and 6th, Bryce Bauer will be there. He's an Audubon native, and he wrote the book Gentlemen Bootleggers, a little bit about the history of Templeton Rye. He'll be doing a book signing and a program on Friday, September 5th at 4 p.m. and Saturday, September 6th at 10:30 a.m. And that'll be at the Audubon Public Library. Folks will want to be around for that. And also don't forget about the T-Bone Golf Tournament coming up September 7th at the Audubon Golf and Country Club. It's a four-person best shot, 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. tee times. And you can call the club if you'd like to know more about that event as well. Also a little further down the road, but still put it on your calendar, Nathaniel Hamlin's Park Fall Festival will be held on Sunday, September 21st, and that's located a mile south of Audubon. It's sponsored by the Audubon County Historical Society. They have lots of different types of things that they'll have going on that day, kind of old-fashioned stuff. You can see a display of miniature horses with their baby miniature mules and miniature donkey as well. There'll be a bargain barn, a farmer's market. You can feed the elk. You can watch apple cider being made. They have the historical museums, the one-room country schoolhouse and blacksmith shop. There'll be some music. There'll be grilled smoked pork chop dinner with scalloped potatoes, green beans, coleslaw, rolls, pie, or dessert, and a beverage for $10. Sounds like a nice fall meal.
Yeah.
A kid's meal will be available there as well for $4. They'll serve at 11 o'clock. Now, admission to the public is just $1 for one person, or $2 if you have two or more people in the car. That's
it. Wow, that's cheap. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, lots of good stuff there, too. So enjoy. And Sue Croker, who was the first place winner at the 2014 Iowa State Fair accordion playing competition, will be providing some music there as well. So some good times, some good stuff. Kind of an old-fashioned festival there at the Nathaniel Hamlin Park coming up on September 21st. Very good.
Yes.
You got any birthdays over there?
I do. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Barbara Jean Duvall. She's celebrating her 90th birthday on Sunday, August 24th. They're going to help celebrate without the party from 2 to 4 at the Memorial Building in Audubon. So happy birthday to Barbara Jean Duvall, celebrating her 90th birthday on Sunday, August 24th with the party from 2 to 4 at the Memorial Building in Audubon. An open house to celebrate Francis Murtaugh of Harlan, celebrating his 85th birthday, is on August 28th, and his children are planning an open house in his honor on Sunday, August 31st from 1 to 4 at the Thurkildsen Activity Center in Harlan. Friends and relatives are invited to attend. If you can't reach it, I'd like to send them a birthday card. You can reach them at 102 Court Street in Harlan, 51537. He has 11 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. So happy birthday to Francis Murtoff Harlan, celebrating his 85th birthday on August 28th with an open house on Sunday, August 31st from 1 to 4 at the Thurkildsen Activity Center in Harlan. Over at the Salem Lutheran Home, we'd like to wish happy birthday to Helen Jensen, celebrating her birthday on August 24th, and also to Helen Rohnfeld, celebrating her birthday on August 29th. Over at the Friendship Home in Audubon, happy birthday to Wendell Fleming, celebrating his birthday on August 27th. Also, happy birthday to Mark Gustafson, celebrating his birthday on August 27th. And happy birthday to Betty Lang, celebrating her birthday on August 29th.
That was a dumb question, wasn't it? Do you have any birthdays to tell us about?
Just a few.
You kind of had a few there, didn't you? Have one anniversary to want to share this week as well. Gary and Jan Clausen will be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary coming up on September 3rd. And there'll be a card shower for that event. So if you'd like to send a card to Gary and Jan Clausen, you may do so at 301 East Division North. That's 301 East Division North, Audubon, Iowa, 50025. So happy 50th wedding anniversary to Gary and Jan Clausen of Audubon. We wish them the best.
Yes. Have a baby girl that was born. Becky Jo Willenberg was born to Matt and Alyssa Willenberg of Dedham on August 14th. Grandparents are Lori and Dale Willenberg of Dedham. Great-grandmother is Mary Dentlinger of Audubon. And great-grandfather is Art Willenberg of Dedham. So congratulations to Matt and Alyssa Willenberg of Dedham on the birth of their daughter, Becky Jo Willenberg, on August 14th.
Excellent.
Yes.
In fact, if memory serves, I think we got calls back-to-back days from Mary, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, because there was another one. Gosh, I can't remember when it was. But yeah, it was just a few, like the next day or a day or two after that she called in and had another one.
I think she had grandchildren born on back-to-back days.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's almost like having twins.
Yeah, pretty much.
As far as a grandmother goes.
For a grandmother, yes.
As far as she's concerned, yeah. But yeah, on back-to-back days. So yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And it also makes it a little bit easier to remember one's birthday because it's right after the others.
It does. Now just keep track which one is which.
You know, I always thought that was one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
As life goes on, you know, when you're a little kid, birthdays are what they are. Mm-hmm. Mom's birthday is this date, dad's is this date, your brothers, your sisters, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's your whole world.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you start to get older and your world expands and you have really good close friends. Now you have to start remembering their birthdays and then perhaps you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you got to remember their birthdays and then maybe that changes and you got to remember new birthdays and maybe at some point you get married, you got to remember that and that's now you got an anniversary
date to remember.
And then all of a sudden you've got maybe you have children. Now there are other dates to remember and stuff too and it's like how much of this can I stuff in my head before I start forgetting things?
Yeah.
I suppose that's why they make calendars.
Well, yes, that helps.
We can keep track of those things.
Yeah.
But it does get difficult sometimes. Yeah. You know, you kind of get zipping through life. And, of course, then all of a sudden when you start thinking of dates where you have to remember things, then you got Mother's Day, Father's Day,
all the holidays.
Valentine's Day, your anniversary.
Basically every week you can bank on something happening.
Pretty much. Yeah, it seems like just about every. And does it seem like, does in your family, do they all kind of ball up in one area? Of the calendar?
Yeah, it seems like it'll all be like kind of towards the end of the year and there'll be kind of gap and then a few months and then boom, 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 there's this going on. And yeah.
See, in our family, it's just the opposite. It's like both of my grandmothers were in February. Mine's in February. My mom's in February. I have an aunt that's in February. My dad and my grandfather, they were in April. My brother's in June. Two of my other brothers are in May. Everything's front of the year. It's all front loaded. So it just seems like a never ending. It's like, didn't I just buy you guys gifts? Oh, yeah, that was Christmas. Now I got to turn around and buy you. Now I got stuff I got to get for birthdays. And then all of a sudden it's Valentine's Day. And then all of a sudden it's Mother's Day and Father's Day and this day and birthdays and that day.
And
I look forward to the tail end of the year so I can rest. Don't have to go out and buy gifts anymore. Unless you want to get ahead of the game for next
That's
year
true.
When the cycle
while
starts
the sales
all
are going
over.
On, yeah.
It's just kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, it is never ending, but it's all fun.
Yeah, it's all fun. It's all family. That's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, that's really all we have for you here this weekend. Again, we want to thank you for spending a little bit of your weekend with us and inviting us into your home through the radio each and every Saturday and Sunday. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.